And on the line listening to my conversation there with Victorian Energy Minister Lily D'Ambrosio is Josh Frydenberg, the Federal Minister for Energy and Environment. Minister, welcome back to Drive.
Always good to be with you, Patricia.
So today you ruled out Victoria's demands, but they're not the only ones requesting changes. Is it safe to say that the NEG will not be approved by COAG on Friday?
Well, it sounded like you were as confused as I was.
I was asking questions. I'm not confused.
As to what Lily D'Ambrosio was saying there, because their position is changing from interview to interview. The reality is they have been consulted for the better part of a year on this. They have been very positive about the National Energy Guarantee. Last night, in a press release embargoed to the media, they put these four demands. Now it seems she's saying to you that they want the federal government to legislate its emissions targets. Now, that's the first that has been formally put to the federal government.
Well, no, she says she's been telling you this over several months.
Well, that is not true. This is a completely new demand that the federal government legislate the emissions target before the National Energy Guarantee is agreed. That is not true.
Okay, but either way, Josh Frydenberg, you need their support. Well, so whether you're surprised that this has come late or not, you still need them on board. How are you going to get them on board?
Well, we have an enormous amount of support from across the community, from industry, from the energy
but
sector.
You need all of the states and territories to sign up. You can have all the support you want, but you need those people around the table to sign up.
And until now, there has been extremely strong support from the states. Obviously, the ACT have been more vocal against, but not forgetting that the ACT is 0.03% of the generation in the national electricity market. But Queensland and Victoria have been consulted every step of the way. They've been very positive about it. Now, you raised the issue in your interview rightly, that Victoria is now concerned about losing seats to the Greens, and the Greens are now dictating what the policy is in Spring Street. And when Lily D'Ambrosio mentions the thousands of jobs at stake, it's worth her thinking about the 250,000 jobs in Victoria alone from the manufacturing sector. And some of the biggest companies employing people across the state, like BlueScope Steel, with its manufacturing in Victoria, more than 1,000 employees. Dow Chemical in Altonia, a large chemical factory. Rheem and so forth.
Okay.
They've all come out and said, sign on to the National Energy Guarantee. So here is a chance to put behind us these partisan climate wars
but agree to a policy desired by
the experts.
The Victorian minister that I just interviewed also indicated an intention to put the climate wars behind you. She just has other conditions. She wants to ensure that your climate targets, that your emissions reduction targets are locked in so that something doesn't happen later or subsequently that the states haven't agreed to.
Well, Patricia, it is the federal government that is the signatory to the Paris Agreement, not the states.
But you're doing a deal that...
Do you want me to finish the answer?
Yeah, but it includes the emissions reduction targets.
I'd like to finish the answer. It is the federal government that is the signatory to the Paris Agreement. The Energy Security Board, a group of independent experts, make it very clear in writing in their report that the states are not being asked to sign up to the federal target. This is the federal responsibility. The set of conditions that Labor is now putting from Victoria relate to the federal responsibility. Let that debate play out in the federal parliament when we seek to pass the federal legislation. But don't let the states step outside their responsibilities to start dictating to the federal government something that they do not have responsibility for. This is why, for the last 15 years, Australia has been unable to reach a consensus and a sensible way forward, because the extremes of this debate, and they're on the right just as they are on the left, have tried to scuttle sensible policy. We went to the independent experts. They have told us, if you want to keep the lights on and if you want to reduce power prices, you need the National Energy Guarantee. miners, manufacturers, the Clean Energy Council, for goodness sake, across the board, energy users are saying, put politics aside this Friday and agree to this policy. There is nothing that stops more renewables coming into the system under the National Energy Guarantee.
Minister, Labor states and Victoria are concerned that if they sign on, it will allow the Commonwealth to essentially include extras such as government support for coal-fired power stations. Is that what might happen? Are they right to be worried about that?
Again, this is playing politics.
But are they right? I asked a question. Are they right to be worried about that?
They are not right to be worried about the Commonwealth doing anything which will create more problems for the energy system. Far from it. Now, if you're referring to the ACCC, another independent body's recommendation for the government to support new generation into the sector to reduce power prices, then that is something that the Commonwealth is favourably considering. But that is a technology-neutral policy. The ACCC made it very clear that it could apply to a whole range of generation sources. And again, I come back to the fundamental point. Under the Turnbull government, there is a record level of renewable investment, $10 billion, 7,000 megawatts currently being built or committed. We have now gone to the experts for a policy. They have put it to us. It's got nearly unanimous support across the board.
But you can't get a deal by Friday, can you?
Sorry?
You can't get a deal by Friday, can you?
Well, the whole idea, and this is where I think some of the commentary has been disingenuous, the whole idea has been to get in principle agreement this Friday and then for the Prime Minister and I to take the legislation through the party room, then the states to be briefed on our federal legislation. They're not being asked to tick off on it, but to be briefed on it. That will mean that whatever has gone through our party room is consistent with what we had taken to the states this Friday.
And do you think you can get in principle agreement still on Friday, given that we heard Lilian D'Ambrosio, we've heard you, there seems to be very different positions?
Well, I would say to the Victorian government very clearly that if they cave into the Greens on this issue, what they are guaranteeing for Victorians is higher electricity prices, and they are going to run the serious risk of blackouts. Now, the Australian Energy Market Operator, who is responsible for ensuring there are no blackouts across the country, has said, do not delay. This Friday, get on board. Every major user group and business industry sector has said they want these climate wars to end and the National Energy Guarantee is the way forward. It's only Greenpeace, GetUp, the Greens, activists who are trying to scuttle this, who are now pushing Victoria to come up with these 11th hour demands. And because Victoria is on the eve of the election, they are running scared.
The Minister for Energy and Environment, Josh Frydenberg, is my guest. I'm Patricia Carvalis, and our number, if you want to text in, 0418 226 576. Minister, moving on, lawyers and governance experts say you've broken your own rules by giving $444 million to the Great Barrier Reef without a tender process. Now, the Auditor General is now considering investigating the grant. Is it time for those funds to be returned and reconsidered?
Well, absolutely not.
Why not have an open tender process?
To go to your first assertion, the Commonwealth has made it very clear, and my department has it up on their website, and have made a detailed submission to the Senate, which is now public, which makes it very clear that the guidelines have been complied with. And let's not forget that this is the single biggest federal contribution to the reef preservation and protection in Australia's history.
And given all this controversy, it's a bit of an own goal then, isn't it?
Not at all. I hope the Labor Party keep talking about it, Patricia, because it will remind people that when they were in government, they saw the Barrier Reef go on the in danger watch list. They had 5 dredge disposal projects planned for the marine park. They had no long-term plan, and they failed to allocate sufficient funding.
Does it concern you, though, that the National Audit Office has listed this as something potentially worthy of an inquiry?
Well, we've always said that the National Audit Office can follow the money trail as to how this money is spent under this program. I would welcome the continued scrutiny of the media and the other relevant bodies to ensure that public confidence is maintained in this important endeavour that we have. Now, since we've come to government, we've entered into a $2 billion Reef 2050 plan with Queensland. We have made this $500 million commitment. We've seen the reef come off the in danger watch list, and we have banned dredge disposal in the marine park. The money that we've allocated to this foundation, bearing in mind that Labor allocated money to it when they were in office, will go towards improving water quality, preventing sediment and nitrogen runoff, tackling the crown of thorns starfish, investing significantly in the science of improving the thermal resistance of the coral to heat and light stress. At the day of the announcement, this $500 million, Australia's chief scientist said that this was a critically important and good day for science. The head of the Great Barrier Reef Marine Park Authority described it as a game changer.
The question, Minister, is about the process, not about funding going to the Great Barrier Reef. But let's just leave that issue because we are running out of time. Just quickly, Emma Hussar won't be recontesting the seat of Lindsay at the next election. She's decided not to recontest and made that statement today. Does that make this issue end? Is this issue now settled?
Well, the questions remain for Bill Shorten because he said that he was not aware of these very disturbing allegations coming out of Emma Hussar's office. But then we found out that his office had been told months before. So the real question for Bill Shorten is, what did he know? When did he know it? And what did he do about it at the time? There are real questions still to be answered. These are very disturbing allegations that remain front page news, and Emma Hussar's decision, I don't think, will mean the end of the public scrutiny of this important issue.
Josh, thanks for your time.
Always good to be with you.
That's the Minister, Josh Frydenberg. He's the Minister for Energy and the Environment.